So now I have to introduce myself. My name is Dorothea von Hantelmann. I'm an art historian. I'm currently the Documenta professor at the University of Kassel. So I work on exhibitions, mainly on art exhibitions, which is kind of a nearby topic given that I'm the Documenta professor, I guess. But actually my research project is a book that covers more than the history of Documenta. I'm working on a book which deals with the changing social function of art exhibitions, but from the 16th century till basically the future. So, what interests me in exhibitions is the way they reflect or mirror or are modeled by very fundamental socioeconomic orders or structures of a given society. So if we look at it, how an exhibition looks around 1800, it tells us a lot about how this very fundamental socioeconomic structure at that time looked like, and the same accounts for 1900 or 2000. This is why I'm interested in exhibitions. And what interests me in particular is also that apparently in the history of modernity, they have become incredibly successful and popular institutions or formats. So successful that they are even exported to other cultures. A few years ago, the Chinese government announced the plan to build 1,000 new museums in the next decade. And I'm sure you're all aware of this biennial business. Currently, there are about 200 biennials existing worldwide. So it's a format that has spread globally in the past decades, which is an interesting phenomenon, especially given that at the same time, in the past years, increasingly, there is a certain discomfort rising with the format of the exhibition. So a lot of artists today are trying to invent new formats, trying to reconfigure the exhibition format, trying to insert more and more life, non-object-based situations, time-based engagement situations into the object-based format of the exhibition. So one could ask, how and why did exhibitions become so successful, and why all of a sudden do they become problematic? The philosopher Lyotard has actually emphasized that any form of thinking needs, or radical thinking, interesting, sort of significant thinking, needs other formats or discursive fields to phrase or formulate what it wants to say. In the 17s, this was very much the medium of the format of the text, Barthes, Lacan, etc., and this whole thinking turning into some kind of speculative literature criticism. In the 80s, then, the image became very important as a main field where a lot of thinking took place. But what about the exhibition? I mean, Lyotard himself was interested. He did a very sort of notoriously influential and important exhibition. But what about, what kind of thinking space does the exhibition propose? Or what kind of Denkstil, I don't know how to translate this, sort of modality of thinking, maybe mode de pensée, I think would it be in French. Denkstil is a term by Ludwig Fleck. What kind of modality of thinking does the exhibition put forth or generate? Or to sort of approach this from a different perspective, if we are here since last night, sort of intensively thinking, searching for new modalities to connect thinking, doing, sensing, acting, and aesthetics, what would be the appropriate format or medium to communicate? Or what kind of experiential space would be appropriate to embody and communicate these new modalities? And I mean, given that we are in some kind of experiential format here, the Meta Theater is not a conventional conference space, but I just want to connect sort of what my perspective on this exhibition format to what we're doing here or what is at stake here. Okay, imagine an archaeologist who digs out Europe in the Western world in a few thousand years. In the center of every major or minor city, he or she will find a kind of temple for objects, where people go to contemplate, to reflect on the beauty, the meaning, and the criticality, if you wish, of things. Given their sheer quantity, in the past few decades, more museums have been built than ever before, and the centrality of their position in the city, one must assume that these places have had an important function in their society. So how could this happen? How could a relatively dry, at least in its conception, also rather scholarly event like the exhibition grow into one of the most successful formats in contemporary culture? Because, that's my argument, the exhibition format is deeply connected to some very elementary categories and values of modern Western societies. Exhibitions, as I see it, have a ritualistic function. They practice and enact certain values and categories that historically have been, and to a certain part also still are, fundamental for these societies. So I'll give you a few sort of examples. Historically, the museum is the first place that explicitly addresses, or the first sort of public ritual that explicitly addresses the individual. Theater is the much older format, but theater is sort of addressing a collective, whereas the encounter with the visual artwork is conceived to be a one-on-one experience. So, which was a huge discussion when museums were founded, if one could actually allow people to walk through individually, or if they would behave, and so on. But one decided to give it a try because one sort of trusted in the educational benefit. A society that put the figure of the individual in its center needs a ritual that addresses people as individuals. And even today, you know, big museums, they have thousands of visitors a day. Tate Modern in London, 4 million a year, more than football stadiums, supposedly. But these 4 millions or these thousands a day are not addressed as a mass, like in a football stadium or in a concert hall. They are addressed as a certain number of individuals. Everyone can go and leave when they want, they can go where they like, and so on. So it's a ritual that does allow a mass audience to participate, but that still allows individualized and flexibilized forms of usage. So it's a liberal ritual, that's what I want to say. It's open for everyone without being the same for everyone, which is a sort of cultural historical achievement. But an individual in relation to a material object, and this is, of course, what museums and exhibitions are primarily. They are places for viewing objects. This is the case for the World Exhibition or a Louvre or a Documenta exhibition, which, of course, is no coincidence that a society that measures itself according to what it produces, a productivist society, as Gattari puts it, in which the idea of a good life runs along the production and the consumption of objects, dedicate so much significance to a ritual that is centered around the value and the significance of material objects. Objects, and this is the third point, that are presented according to a narrative of progress, an evolutionary timeline, a narration of progress and development, which actually, this timeline was in the 19th century, in the big sort of time for the rise of museums, was important to establish an economy of growth, because what this economy of growth needed was a credit business. And what else is a credit business than a belief that it's going to be better in the future, that you can trust that the future is going to be better. So you needed to, it was necessary to sort of implant a consciousness and awareness of an evolutionary timeline and a belief in the future, in progress, into individual and collective consciousness. And it needed institutions where this could sort of literally be habitualized. When you walk through a museum, you literally progress from the past to your own presence. So, and the fourth point is that structurally artworks are products. So they form part of a market economy. Vanna Zombat, the sociologist, calls them refined goods. So we have the individual, we have the material object, we have a narration of progress or evolution, and we have the market structure. So these are four pillars of modern Western democratic market societies. And as every society needs places and rituals that spatializes and temporalizes its core values, so places where these abstract categories become concrete, where they are embodied and become part of an individual and a collective consciousness, for modern Western societies, I would say the museum, the format of the exhibition structurally is such a place. So this basically is my explanations for the success story of this format. But I would say that its connection to the order of these kind of societies goes even deeper, beyond categories such as the individual or the object. If you go to an art museum or an art exhibition, and you would be asked to summarize the essence of this format in one word, what would that be? Something that underlies all these categories of the individual, the object, an idea of a sort of progressive idea of time, separation. You cross the threshold to a museum and you leave the ordinary world, so you're sort of separated from an everyday context. You enter a room, let's say a white cube, that is cleared, sort of a paradigmatically disconnected space. It's cleared from all penetrations of reality. One could almost say it's a Cartesian space that in which all natural processes, temperature, light, acoustics, etc., are regulated. And you finally encounter an artwork, an exhibit, an object that is, if I did this in German, which I actually probably should because I guess most of you speak German, so I say this in German, ein aus-Bindestrich gestelltes Kunstwerk. Ja, ein ausgestelltes Kunstwerk ist ein Kunstwerk, das ist aus seinem Kontext herausgestellt, ja, getrennt, separated from its networks. I'll translate this for the few that speak English here. I guess the exhibited artwork is sort of ex/hibited. Ja, it's disconnected, taken out of its networks or context. So to exhibit means to put something out, outside, or to ausstellen means auszustellen. Yeah? This starts with the altarpiece in the church, that in the church is part of a ritual, has a function, it's part of the context of an altar, and then is taken out of this altar context and placed in the museum context. The portrait of the prince leaves the collection, the royal collection, to become part of a museum collection. So why does a society need a ritual that is about separating and disconnecting? Because, of course, this principle of separation constitutes the fundamental attitude of the modern project. So in a way, we could say that the moment in which the altar painting leaves the altar and enters the museum bears within it the entire paradigm of modernity, namely a transition from sort of fixed to open cosmologies, religion to art history, and a shift from fixed, or which sort of exemplifies a larger shift from feudal, aristocratic to modern, democratic, structurally more open, liberal orders and meaning systems. So as we all know, this approach of disconnecting and separating proved extremely productive as a fundamental attitude in modern society. In the history, and this is what I just referred to, in terms of the history of ideas, it drove the movement towards an enlightened modern rationality. It proved emancipatory in political terms in the sense of a liberation from the stringent social ties of feudal societies. And in economic terms, it led to massive increases in productivity, which for the first time in human history were capable of transforming societies based on scarcity into affluent, societies. But this didn't fall from the sky. Humans had to learn to separate themselves from nature and look at it, at nature or at the earth, as a kind of repository of resources. Heidegger would say as Bestand. I don't know how to translate this. Is there any Heidegger specialist here? Standing reserve, I think. Well, I'm not sure. It's interesting maybe to mention that the first museums or sort of prefigurations of what we today would call museums or the exhibition or what I would call the exhibition format emerged around the same time as the journeys of discovery in the 16th century. And one of the most renowned collectors of that time was the Italian naturalist Ulisse Aldrovandi, who had a huge botanical and zoological collection with over 7,000 plants, animals, and minerals that were preserved in large cabinets with thousands of compartments. It is said that when Aldrovandi gave tours for his visitors, and he had a lot of visitors, he encouraged them to take the individual pieces of his collection out of these compartments, to single them out, to inspect them at close range, to assign a meaning to them, which is an interesting gesture. So if museums are about turning the world into an object, you can only turn something into an object that you don't feel inseparably connected to. And precisely this is what this very, very early sort of prefiguration of this museum idea practices here, or tries out. So Aldrovandi's proposal to single these things out marks, one could say, the beginning of a new sort of explorative, objectifying relation to the world, and at the same time, the beginning of a new form, cultural format that cultivates this sort of non-explorative, non-immanent relation to the world, the exhibition. And we could say that early museums functioned as kind of laboratories to where this new attitude could be tried out and rehearsed, so to speak, or enacted before it would slowly move to the center of society. So to sum this up, we could say that the Anthropocene is born from a sort of general acceptance of this attitude of separation, of sort of turning the world into a store of resources. And the exhibition is a modern ritual that plays a part in its sort of general practices and acceptances, or embodiment or habitualization. And they both draw on the common spring of a fundamental attitude of separation or division. So now for the second part of my thing here, which is actually more what I was supposed to do here, a demonstration, I need two things. One is, I need the other light, so könnte ich bitte das andere Licht haben? The other is, I need your help. I would like to ask you all to come down here, and it will be easier, I promise, when the light has changed. Maybe he didn't hear me. Hallo? Könnte ich das andere Licht haben, bitte? It has been a long day, hasn't it? What else can I do to let these guys know? Oh, it's happening. Wonderful. Okay, so it would be really nice if you came down here, and while you do this, I'm going to do some rearrangement here. try to do, oops, no, this is not working anymore, so now I need this. So what I will try to do is, sorry, I need, oh, fine. You can hang out here, I can just, I'll keep on talking. I'm not going to say very important things while you're coming down, so don't worry. So what I will do now is I will try to arrange a little exhibition with the things that I needed to do this talk here. Sorry. It's not going to be the best, most brilliant exhibition in the world, I'm afraid, but I hope it fulfills its purpose, which is to demonstrate. Sorry, I'm really sorry, but I need this. Oh. Yeah, you know, it's an we're going to turn this into an exhibition, and you want to sit there? No, sorry, I'm not going to expose you here. Okay. I'm a bit too nervous to do this properly here, but okay. So as I said, this is not going to be the most brilliant exhibition in the world, but I hope it does its job, which is to demonstrate you this idea of, oh, it's glad, I'm so glad you all came down here. So wait, I'm almost done. This is a matter of theater, so I'm trying to exhibit some matter, theater, quite literally. Okay, now I might need a little help because I'm trying to turn this into some kind of Archwager-esque, and this is quite heavy. Let's say, the boss, he's worried that I might. No, we leave this here. I'm just going to put this to the ground.
Okay.
Exactly. Don't worry, I'm not going to do anything. Okay. I know. This is why I'm telling you, don't worry. I know you're worried, but it's all fine. I know important people have used this. let me check. Oh, I think it's supposed to be like that. But yeah, almost. Okay. Okay. So this is. Oh, I'm really sorry, but we need only one glass here. Sorry. Don't touch. It's an exhibition now. Let's check the rest. Oh, I forgot something. Sorry. Can you hold this for a second?
Of course.
Okay, this is the last piece. Sorry, I need a little bit. Okay, let's put this here. Without the label, without. It's a bit, okay. So, okay. So what has happened now? We have obviously changed the status of the things. Huh? We have exhibited this, meaning that we have taken it out of its sort of network that it existed in previously and turned it into a singled out object at which we look differently now. We have a certain curiosity, maybe a certain openness, what this aesthetically or scientifically, we could think of the company Sennheiser, or look at these plugs and think of how this could be used, or see it more formally, aesthetically, which looks quite nice, sort of Brancusi-esque. and what has happened to the format? What actually is the difference between a theater situation
in which we were before, lecture, theater, church, mass, pretty much all the same, or the exhibition. No? The structural difference is that in the theater, the one, or in the church, the priest, speaks to the many. Of course, that's a huge difference if it's an actor on stage or a priest. I'm making this a bit brief here. But in any case, we have the setup of one speaking to the many, whereas in an exhibition, and this is not really working here because it's still me talking to all of you, but as I said, you know, we are just modeling something here. In an exhibition, so think of you walking through, I don't know, MoMA. It's not one speaking to the many, it's actually the idea is that many communicate with many, transmitted and mediated through objects. Which, in the history of, in a cultural historical perspective, took centuries to establish. Yeah, this shift from, because historically all sort of cultural formats are based on the structure of the one speaking to the many. And to transform this into a format where the many speak to the many, communicated through objects or mediated through objects, was a huge sort of endeavor. And only the visual arts managed to realize this. Why? Because the visual arts are the sort of cultural form that runs along the object. And what is the difference between us sort of communicating or facing an object or encountering an object? The object doesn't reply. The object doesn't demand a specific attention, a specific time that you dedicate to it. You can just ignore it. The object doesn't involve you in any kind of potentially complicated or social hierarchically structured social situation. So through the object, it became possible to overcome or turning this object into the actual protagonist of meaning production. Poor microphone. Actually made it possible to overcome the social rigidity that situations in which peoples of different social spheres interact, and this is what early museums were, one of the few places where people from different social classes actually met. So to overcome the rigidity that these situations might have. So for the early civic society, this was a huge sort of liberalizing achievement. In that sense, we could say that the museum or the format of the exhibition is indeed a liberal ritual. Everyone can go and leave when they want. There is no collective control of their attention. You can turn around and leave. I mean, all these things you could do before when I was speaking from there, but you produce a different kind of spectacle or drama when you do it. Whereas now you're sort of free to wander around, to look at the things, to listen to me, to do. So it's a much more sort of loose form of gathering. People can gather in certain clusters, but it's a sort of more liberalized, open gathering. So in that sense, we could say that the exhibition is the only truly sort of distinctively modern cultural format that has been generated. And then around the time of the 1600, we mentioned that before, there was a whole sort of range of different kind of, a range of experimenting with different kinds of formats. Theater, then the theater of memory, which is also a reference for the theater of the Met Theater here tonight in the 16th century. And then these early form of, you know, Wunderkammern, curiosity cabinets. But the exhibition in its sort of canonical structure is what actually became hegemonic. And precisely because of that, because it has a certain strength in liberalizing, like putting forth values that were or became extremely important for these sort of modern Western democratic market societies. The only problem, and now I come to the to the sort of problematic thing aspect. The only problem with this is that most of these values are not so important for us anymore. Not so important. What we are facing here, I mean, since in this project even more, is the question, not the question of how to separate and to liberalize and to individualize and to flexibilize, what is the strength of this format, but rather the opposite. How bring all these things back together? How to think relatedness, interconnected, connectivity, connection. So, and precisely this is, of course, where the exhibition reaches, the format of the exhibition reaches its structural limits. I mean, makes sense, because a format that historically geared to break up connections, to liberalize, to flexibilize, to disconnect, can only to a certain point do the opposite, namely produce connections, synthesize, bring body and mind back together. I mean, museums are eye-oriented. You only have a body at the point where you feel that your back hurts because it's so exhausting. So this is sort of the structural problem of this format, where a cultural format reaches its limits in terms of embodying and communicating a certain Denkstil or modality of thinking that we are today interested in. And I was showing you this because I think it's important to do a kind of archaeology of these cultural formats and think of what these formats can do, what their strength is and what their weakness is in terms of communicating or putting forth a certain way of thinking. Which doesn't mean that, so obviously, I mean, my point is sort of we have to come up with a different kind of format to communicate or to realize this way of thinking that we are interested in here, which doesn't mean that we have to throw everything out of the window, because of course some of these categories of values that the exhibition and with it the entire project of modernity sort of was putting forth are something we don't want to dismiss. So the question, for example, this liberal structure here, or this focus on the individual, or this sort of democratic aspect that lies in the structure of building up a format that can host a mass of people without being the same for everyone. This might be things that we are still interested in keeping up, but the question is how can we produce a format that can allow things that have been separated to be thought back in their interconnection or interrelatedness without giving up this liberal structure that this format allows. Okay, that's basically it. And I'm not answering this question, unfortunately. I mean, I know I mentioned it at the beginning. There are several artists working on this or thinkers working on this question, and it's something that is sort of virulent at the moment. But instead of going into this, what I will do is paying a little homage to an artist here from Berlin. Actually, her name is Kirsten Pieroth, and some of you might know her. Actually, this is a little homage to a work that she did a few years ago, and I'm just going to do it. I mean, I'm not going to do it. Her work was a bit differently, but it's like an homage. Thank you. And now I'm the moderator again. We're done for the day. Let's have a drink.
Vielen Dank, Dorothea von Handelmann. Unsere letzte Demonstration von Ellen Weiss findet im Tea Garden statt, das über das Garderobenfoyer zu erreichen ist. In 10 Minuten beginnt die letzte Demonstration im Tea Garden.